Praise God for the time He has given us. I was really touched by that song that says that he thought of me. He took the fall and thought of me. That was really that touched me. Thought of me means me who is a wretched sinner, who is worthy of hellfire. He thought of me. I really want to always remember that my Jesus, not only that time, now also He thinks of me. When I fall, He thinks of me. He wants me to come back to Him. That's what He desires. Really touched me, that song. And otherwise also that focus that was on Jesus. He's the one whom we are worshiping. He's the one we are thinking of continuously. God was speaking to me one verse that I want to share. That is from 1 Peter 2:21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. So God was speaking to me that I need to look at that Jesus who, when people abused Him and when people said names about Him, that is my example. I need to follow Jesus in that area where He says He was reviled, He did not revile in return. He did not return evil with evil. And while He suffered, He never threatened, like He never spoke back, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. He kept telling the Father about His problem, whatever He suffered. He didn't fight for it, but told the Father about His problems. So the same way, wherever I am, wherever God has placed us, we also face the same thing. We also face suffering. The world is not a very just world. We will have many areas where people will not treat us properly. So that is the area where I can look at Jesus. He says that he suffered totally unjustly. He never sinned in a single time, but He had to suffer because, and still He never threatened anyone, or He never spoke back. He submitted to the Father's will completely. That spoke to me that whenever I, in the office, when my boss allows me to suffer some unjustly, or in the school, sometimes something happens that it is very unjust, am I able to look at Jesus? Jesus is my example there. This is what God wanted me to speak about, that look at Christ as an example in every area of our life. So that verse that came, that spoke to me, was Hebrews 12:2-3. It says that, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So I need to look at Jesus who endured so much without sinning. He didn't. When I look at Jesus and when I look at His example, I can easily by His grace, I can live this life. It's not possible with my own strength, but by His grace, as He says here, that He endured hostility. So the way, same way, I need to endure by His grace. I need to look at Jesus always in every area of my life where I face a problem, where what I should do, what is the solution. There is a solution in Jesus. Maybe I will not find it in the first, when I first look at it, I don't know what is the solution. But when I really look at very clearly at fixing my eyes on Jesus, I can look and I can find the solution to my problem. Any sin, any area that I feel defeated, I can look at Jesus and He can provide me. In the Word of God only there is a solution for that. I need to find the right place for that. And the Holy Spirit can help us to find that the place where I can find myself, where Jesus, I can find Jesus in that place, wherever it is. Then some areas where I can look at Jesus is how He judged others. Like when in Isaiah 11, if you read 1 to 3, it says there, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. So I see Jesus, who didn't judge by what his eyes saw, had such a challenge to me, because it's very easy to, when I see something, yeah, it's like that, I just make my own calculations and judge the person or whatever the circumstances. But it says about Jesus that he didn't even judge by his eyes. That is really a challenge to me, because many times we tend to judge others by what we see. The motive, we don't know the motive. We can think that it is all, we think it is correct, but when God sees, it is a different way. So I need to humble myself and ask and leave it to God to judge. That that's the way Jesus did it. When he was on the earth, he didn't know the people's hearts, so he didn't judge people like that. And he didn't take a decision on what his ears, what he heard, because many times when we hear something about others or something, it might not be true. So Jesus just, he didn't take a decision and do his own will there, but he left it to the Father to take a decision in that area. He didn't take a decision on what his eyes, ears heard and eyes see. So that really spoke to me, that this is one area where I can be like Jesus, that I don't judge others by what I see and what I hear. That's a real challenge to us, but it's possible. When I really ask God's grace, he can make it possible. Then one more area where I can see Jesus is his abiding in his Father. It says in John 14:10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. So I see there that Jesus never spoke what he felt like speaking. He was always in connection, communication with his Father. He asked his Father, Lord, what I should say now. He never thought, okay, I can say what I want. But it says that the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding me does his work. So he never spoke what he wanted. He always he always was in connection with his Father. So his Father spoke to him what to speak, and then that is what he spoke. And that is what Jesus tells us also. If you see in if you read John 15:4, Jesus tells us the same thing to what we should do. He says that abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So here it clearly says that we need to abide in Jesus continuously. We should not just on our own. There is one more verse that says that the Holy Spirit will bring to our memory what we need to speak in each occasion. So as Jesus had the Father to speak to him, the same way we have the Holy Spirit, which will many times we are very hasty and just say something, and then we come to know that we should not have spoken that. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us in each occasion what we need to speak. Never speak that what we want to speak, but always ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. If you read about Jesus' speech, it's a very good challenge to us. It says in Luke 4:22. If you read about his speech, it says in Luke 4:22 that all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips, and they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? So when Jesus spoke anything, it was always with grace. That is what I can get from this verse, that Jesus never spoke without grace. Always his words were with grace. Others could sense that grace. And that is what we need to really, by the grace of God, to be always speaking. When we speak, we should ask God, Lord, let the words that he speak be with grace, that will uplift and encourage others and not put them down. It's also say in Colossians 4:6, if you read, it says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So God wants that my speech will always be with grace, that will, when I speak, the others will get grace and not put them down with my words. Many times when we speak words very rudely and to cut the other person or put them down. So here it says so clearly that when I speak, others should get grace from my words. It is not possible with our strength. We need the grace of God to make this possible in our lives, that when we speak, it is always with grace. One more verse is there which speaks about the grace of the speech, about speech that Jesus, how he spoke. In Luke 24:32, if you read, it says, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road and he was explaining the scriptures to us? So when this was not some Jesus not preaching or something, he was just speaking to two people who were walking with him. And when Jesus was casually speaking to them, they could sense that the hearts were burning within them. So that is really a challenge, that when we speak, others should be able to sense the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Because many times we use our tongue for evil things. That is why many times our speech is not very sharp and really doesn't help others. But like Jesus, if we can be that, when we speak, it always it creates a real that encouragement, and people are lifted up when we speak. So we need to really ask the Lord to give us this grace, so that this can be made possible in our lives. Then one more thing that I can see, we can see in Jesus is appreciation of others. If you read John 1:47, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Here, if you read the earlier verses, John 1:47, just before that, if you read, it says that Nathanael in 46, he says, Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So even though Nathanael spoke like he was just despising Nazareth, the place where Jesus was born, but still Jesus could see the heart. He could see the heart, that it was without guile. It was without any without any hypocrisy. So Jesus says that this is a person whom there is no guile, no deceit. So I don't need to look at the history of a person to appreciate that person. I can, if I see something good in that person, if I come across something, I should immediately be able to appreciate that. At home also, maybe a small thing that wife does, it may not be very great thing, but a small thing. But that was really a help to me, or it was really a challenge to me. Then I can tell her that the heart of appreciation should be there, like Jesus had, to always see the good in others and to appreciate it. I can see it's so lacking in me, that to appreciate others. I always want we always want appreciation. We don't want to give. But Jesus taught us that we should be able to give the appreciation to others. It also says in Matthew 8:10, if you read that Matthew 8:10. I think the verse is not correct. There's a word which says that in one passage Jesus says that he marveled and said to those who were following him, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." So in that when you look at that passage where he speaks to that Roman soldier who comes to Jesus and say asks for healing for his son, so there Jesus, there the soldier says that you just say the word and my son will be healed. And Jesus just sees that faith in him and just appreciates him. So I can see Jesus never thought about the Roman soldier. He was not even converted maybe, but he saw that something good in that person and he appreciated that. So that is one area where I need to work out, and we all, it's really a challenge to us. One more area where we can see Jesus is his prayer. If you read Hebrews 5, Hebrews 5, 7, it says that in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. So this is what I see in Jesus all through his life. If you read one more verse, is there that in Luke 22, Luke 22:39. If you read Luke 22:39, it says that, and he came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, and but yours be done." And then Jesus and the angel comes and strengthens him. So this was the custom of Jesus. He did it every day. That is what this shows, as it says in Hebrews, that in the days of his flesh. So same thing, Jesus every day he had this habit of going to the Mount of Olives and praying to the Father. Only this time it was very intense because he was facing death. He was facing separation from his father. So that is one thing that even Jesus says here, that he tells the disciples, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." So whenever that is what I can see in Jesus' prayer life. He always always had a custom. It was a habit in him that he used to find a place. He used to go somewhere some place where no one is there and just go and play lonely place. So whenever he needed any help, he always used to pray to God. And whenever he was tempted to sin, he always used to have that communication with the Father. Maybe he will not speak with his mouth sometimes. Maybe in the heart he is crying out, "Lord, I don't want to sin." That attitude I need to have. That attitude I need to develop always. That whenever I feel like a lot of pressure and temptation, I can just cry out in my heart. I don't want to shout, but I can cry out, "Lord, I don't want to sin here. I need your grace." So that is what Jesus always did, and that is one way we can stay away from sin. When you ask, when you cry out to God and ask his grace, it says that He was heard. Jesus was heard. So he was saved because he always had that godly fear, and he always cried out to God for help. He never tried out on his own strength anything. He always was dependent on his father for everything. Then another area where we can see is his compassion for others. Jesus never, we can see that Jesus never ever acted on his own mind, what he thought, okay, I will go and do this and do that. He felt a compassion in his heart and then went and did things. He never went and did just because he wanted to do it, not because it was his duty. He always did as he felt in his heart, a compassion for others. If you read, many verses are there where he says that he was moved with compassion. If you read Matthew 14:14, it says that when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. So Jesus didn't act on the need. Jesus didn't act on the need. He acted on his heart feeling a compassion for them. He always acted like that. Only if you see another verse in Matthew 20 and 34, if you read. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. So he didn't act as he wanted, but he was always in connection with the Father, and he acted from his heart. That is what I can get from this, that Jesus always acted from his heart. The heart of compassion moved him to do things. So that is a challenge to me, that I don't need to go around doing things, many good things, but I need to allow the Holy Spirit to give that compassion in my heart and then go and do things. That will be more beneficial and more, will be giving glory to God rather than doing it out of duty or out of compulsion. Just always be moved by compassion to do things for God, to help out others in their need, to be I have to do this, I will do it. No, I will do it when God gives me a compassion in my heart and then I go and do it. That will be help that other person, because I will be doing it out of a burden and a sense of need in my heart. So that is one more thing that I can see in Jesus, that he was always compassionate. He was always moved by compassion and did things out of compassion. And one more area where I can see Jesus is his security. He was always secure in his Father. If you read... says that in John 8:29, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. So Jesus had this assurance in his heart that always he had this assurance in his heart that his Father is with him. There is one verse where it says that in John 16:32, if you read John 16:32, says that behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. This always challenges me, because there will be situations where here the disciples all left him, and he knew it already that the disciples are going to leave him. So he was not shaken by that, because he was so assured of his Father being with him. That really challenged me, that sometimes I might be have to be alone also in order to follow Jesus. Maybe everyone will leave me, but I will not be insecure, because I know my Father is with me. I don't have to, my Father who controls everything is with me. I don't have to worry about anything. And he was so much at rest in his Father. That is what really challenges me. He never got shaken up when things went wrong, or when the disciples all left him and all. He was always at rest because he was so much secure in his father's love that his father will never leave him alone, that his father will care for him and provide for his needs. This is really a great life to live, that I don't have to always be we need brothers and sisters, but sometimes we need to be able to leave alone also. Leave alone means without to be detached from all our relatives if need be, because sometimes God allows situations in our lives where we have to be alone, where no one will be with us. But we have to have that assurance in our hearts that our Father, the Holy Spirit, is in us and will guide us always and will strengthen us. This really spoke to me. Always to be in connection, in fellowship with the Father, always having that sense of belonging, sense of assurance that He is with me, that I don't need to worry about anything because nothing can happen without His knowledge. That is what I need to always remember. Whatever the great problem it is, because he never allows anything that we cannot bear. It's always it is in His plan only. Nothing will happen without anything that is without His plan. So I need to take this as a challenge, that always to depend on the Holy Spirit, to be always secure in the Father. And one more area where I can see Jesus is in, if you read John 18, 4 and 5, if you read. Here Jesus, the Judas who was betraying him was with the he had received the if you read 18:3, Judas then having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, he went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazarene." So this really amazes me, that 3 years Jesus was with them and they couldn't recognize Jesus. He was so much like the normal people. Like he was not some holy person. He didn't dress up in some different way and he didn't act in a different way. He was like a normal person. I believe maybe Peter and Jesus used to have beard and both were looking the same. You couldn't differentiate between them because they were so same similar. So this really challenged me that I can be like a normal person. I don't have to act spiritual, and I can be as I am. Jesus was as he was, and that's why he couldn't recognize him. Even though 3 years they used to see him everywhere in the temple, but he was so much like the common person that they couldn't recognize he was different. So they had to ask, and twice Jesus has had to say, "I am he." So that really challenged me that the Son of God, when he came down on earth, he became so much like us. He was not different. He was not some. He didn't have some light above around him or something. He was like a normal person, and he suffered like me only. He had the same flesh like me, even though he didn't sin, but he had the same temptation and he had the same pull of temptation, and the same grace that God has given him, he gives us also. So that's a challenge to me. It is not that he was Son of God, that's why he overcame. No, when he came down to earth, he never used his powers as God. He was as me. He suffered like me. He had all the pull of temptation for money and for sexual lust, and everything was there in him also. But he never fell in that, because the Holy Spirit in him strengthened him, and he always yielded to the Holy Spirit to give him the strength to overcome, and the grace of God was with him always. One more thing that we can see in Jesus is his humility. In Philippians 2, if you read, Philippians 2 to if freedom 2 to 8, it says about his 2 to from 4 to from 5 to 8, if you read, it says about Jesus, how he was, that although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So this is what I see. This is the way Jesus lived all his life. He humbled himself. He was for the Son of God to come down and come down to a level itself is a great humility. I can see that for us even living in the as a normal human being also, we have so much difficulty in humbling down many times. But Jesus, being the Son of God, that he had so many powers, he could do anything, but he left all those and he emptied himself. He didn't grasp anything. He came down to our level. That is, it's a big level of humility that Jesus had, and that is why he overcame also. That is the reason he overcame in every area that God allowed in him in his life. Every temptation that came to him, he overcame, because he was always humble. He humbled himself in every situation that came in his life. Then one more thing is, Jesus was very sure that his life was planned from death, life to death. He was very sure that whatever happens in his life is allowed by the Father. And one more thing, and he knew that whatever is said in the scriptures about him in the Old Testament, whatever is said, it will be done. He was 100% sure, and that is why he knew that nothing will happen without what is written in the Word of God. Whatever is written, that will happen, because in one place it is written in Luke 22:37 says that, for I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, for he was numbered with transgressors, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment. So Jesus was sure that whatever is written in the Word of God in the Old Testament will be fulfilled in his life, and nothing will happen which is not written in the Word of God. He was so sure of that. In the same way, God has planned everything for our lives. Nothing will happen which is not written in his mind. It will be always in his scope only. It will never happen that God is taken by surprise. Never. Whatever happens in my life is always ordered by God. Everything that happens. In one more verse, we see Matthew 26:54. If you read, says that how then will the scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen this way? So again, Jesus knew the scriptures, and he was sure that whatever is written in the scriptures before in the Old Testament will be fulfilled. So that is why he says that it will be fulfilled. So he was at rest. Jesus was always at rest, because he knew that whatever is said about him will be done. It will not happen that it will not be done. Everything that, and nothing that apart from that will happen. He was so sure of that, because he knew the scriptures so well. So I need to always be sure that whatever happens in my life is always the Father knows it, and nothing will happen without his knowledge, without God's knowledge in my life. Then another area that we can see, we see Jesus as an example, is he was committed to do his Father's will completely. If you read John 6:38, it says that, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus always, Jesus was never, always was ready to do the Father's will, even though it means that he had to take up his cross. But he always, he lived with this desire that always his Father's will should be done. Even if it means his own inconvenience, that he will have to suffer a lot. Because I believe when Jesus was at home in Nazareth and all, his brothers and his, maybe his parents also didn't treat him properly because he was perfect. He never sinned. And to live in that difficulty, in that problems and all the hate and jealousy that others have, to live with perfect rest, and it's really difficult. It's really, it's the grace of God, and he had to really take up the cross to always be at rest, or never lose his rest in any situation, never to sin. It's so difficult. You can imagine the difficulty, because he never sinned even once. So it would have been so much the grace of God would have only helped him to not sin. We see in one more verse that so one more verse, if you see in John 18, if you read John 18:11. Here actually Peter in 10th verse, if you read Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest slave and cut off his right ear, and the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? So Jesus was so eager to drink what the Father has given him. He was so eager to do it. This was the will of the Father, that he should drink this cup. So Jesus tells Peter that, put your sword, don't use your sword there, because this is the cup which my Father has given me. This is the cup. It's very painful that I have to drink it, but I will do it, because that's my Father's will for me. Same way, sometimes we will not use a sword like Peter. We will use a tongue when any situation comes in our lives where we have to use a tongue to kill someone, to hit out at someone. That time we can remember this verse. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? There I need to die. That is what Jesus did there. He died to his the will that he had to give it back to that person. He just kept quiet, and he suffered silently, because he knew that it was his Father that who has allowed it this to happen. So when any situation comes in our lives where we feel like giving back to someone, the tongue that is used to cut someone, when then we can remember that this is the cup that the Father has given me. I can, by the grace of God, keep quiet in that moment, not give it back to that person, but remember that this is allowed by God. This is allowed. This situation is allowed by God, and here I need to keep silent, and here I need to keep quiet, and here I need to have that rest in my heart. So just like Jesus, I can keep quiet, knowing that my Father has allowed this to happen. So all this that we heard, it is not possible with our own strength, because Jesus never did anything with his own strength. Even though he was a son of man, he was a son of God. When he came down to earth, he was like us only. He never had any special powers. He only had the Holy Spirit. So the same Holy Spirit he gives us to live like that. It says in one verse in John 16:13, if you read. Here He says that Jesus says this. This actually, this is a Jesus had the Father with him to speak what the Father tells him. Here it says that for us, this is for us. It says, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So the Holy Spirit comes within us, and he will speak to us what I need to speak, not what I want to speak, but what he will tell me what I need to speak. And he will also, it says that in 14th, it says that he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So for me to see Jesus in the scriptures, I need the Holy Spirit to disclose Jesus to me. I will understand it in my mind, but the Holy Spirit has to make it understand in my heart how Jesus lived. And that is the Holy Spirit's work, that he will disclose Jesus to us more and more as we read the scriptures, as we meditate on how Jesus lived. We can more and more understand how Jesus faced his situation. He is an example for us. One more verse that says about his help for us is in Hebrews 4. If you read Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus can sympathize with us, our weaknesses, our faults, our failures. We don't serve a God who didn't suffer like us, the Son of God who suffered like us. He became weak like us. He became like us. He faced all the pressures that we had. That is why he can understand what we go through. When we go through any difficulty, any problem, we can look at Jesus. And it says that he was tempted like me in every area. So I am not alone in any temptation that comes in my way. I am not never alone. Never ever alone, because he has been tempted. I believe the word of God, and it says so clearly that Jesus was tempted like me. He faced and he didn't sin, and that is why we can draw near to God. He is the one who gives us the grace, so we need to come to him with confidence that, Lord, you, I need grace in this situation. I need the grace of God to see Jesus and to ask for grace to live like Jesus. I really need that. We really need the grace of God to live like Jesus lived. It is not easy. Only by the grace of God can it be done. Because many times we face situations where we don't know what to do. That time we can run to God. He's there to help us. He will never leave us alone. That is his word. He was tempted like us. So we can look at Jesus in every situation in our life. We can run to him. We can ask his grace. We really need, as Jesus, when he left the earth, he said one thing, that wait for him till you are filled with the Holy Spirit. All that Jesus did and lived and everything was because he had the power of the Holy Spirit within him. So we need to always be filled with the Holy Spirit. Only then can we live like Jesus lived. There is a life where we can live with our own strength, and we can be very, with our own strength we can do many things, but there is a limit to that. Jesus wants to take us beyond that limit where we don't use our own strength in anything. We ask for power from above. We ask for that Holy Spirit that will enable us. It will not happen in one day. It will take a lot of time, but we can at least ask his grace in small, small situations in our lives. Lord, in this situation, I need your grace. It is difficult for me. I give up my own strength. I trust in God. Lord, you give me grace. Like Jesus cried out, we can cry out. Even though Jesus lived like he was the Son of God, he came down and like a man, and he had to cry like us, like a human being, normal human being. He had to cry out for power. He had to cry out not to sin. So the same way, we need to have that same attitude that Jesus had, to to go out to him, draw from him, draw the power from him, and to live, really live like him. Maybe we will fail sometimes, but we can still come to him. He will never, even if we fail 100 times, he will not leave us. He will still, he is always ready to help us. God spoke to me all these words. I really want that these things will be true in my life, that the Holy Spirit will in glory to glory, in small way, will change me and make this true in my own life, that in every area, in every situation that comes in my life, in every temptation that comes in my life, I can be like Jesus in a small measure, in every way, and I can see him and I can be like him. I cannot do it in my own strength, but I trust in him. I am just a small member, part of the body of Christ. I cannot do everything. I am just a small member. We are all members and we need all help from each other. I can do only my part. I can only do what he gives me the grace for and what he has called me to do. A small member also has got value. So every one of us can really ask his grace and ask his strength to, and pray for each other. We need a lot of prayers to for the pressures that come for each person are different. So we need a heart of caring and a heart of prayer for each other, so that Jesus can be lifted up in our lives, lifted up in wherever we meet. Jesus will be lifted up and his life will become our life each day, and we can live lives where the world will see that we are witnesses of his resurrection, that his life can, others can see his life in us and be challenged by that. May God help us.
Praise the Lord. So many verses. And out of all that, I could only remember one thing. Was from 1 Peter 2. Verse 22. Over here, I just want to see what our dear brother Peter got to say. And the experience what he had with Jesus. And over here, he is not the same man. When you turn to Matthew chapter 26, I was reading verse 72. There he says, I do not know the man. Our brother Peter says that, I do not know the man. And he says this three times there. And one thing, I was just, a picture which came into my mind. I was thinking over and again. One side where Jesus is there. And in the crowd, in the midst, Peter is also standing. I do not know how he might be standing. He may be just standing casually. And the crowd is there. Maybe he may not be forward. He may be just seeing from back or somewhere. And there in verse 67 we read, The spit in his face. What a scene it is. And Peter is looking at that. When people are spitting, he's looking at that. Maybe when the spit fell on Jesus' face, maybe a little eyes, Jesus' focus might have gone to Peter also, no? Just to see what he is doing. Don't think so. In the crowd, his thought might have not gone to Peter. And there again, when Peter was, they saw Peter, they said, this fellow was also there with Jesus. But then he said, I do not know him. The thing over here is, the confidence level of Peter, if you see in the earlier verse, in Matthew chapter, same 26 verse 33, what he says there? He says that, all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Yeah, Peter answered and said that. And he's the same Peter there in the midst of crowd. And there, again, the last part of it in verse 75, he went out and wept bitterly. A conviction which came into his mind. Think today, what is, I could be one like that, like Peter. Today I could boldly stand over here, which I'm not worthy to stand and speak. I could speak big words. I could tell lots about Lord Jesus Christ. I could prophesy things. But if it is not there really in me, and I may pretend in the crowd and say that I do not know who this man is. When really things come upon my life, when really, when I have to face the circumstances for the Lord, that heart is not there. The denial comes in me saying that I do not know. How much time? It might have happened with us many times. It has happened with me too. It's the same Peter who writes there. He's experienced saying that in this man, there was no sin. There was a song, it goes like this. Fairest of all the earth beside, it is that man of Calvary. And it is the man of Calvary. He's a man, who has done his work completely. He did not live in even little for me. He finished it without living little. But as a man, there is so much of incompleteness in myself when I do my things. So much of negligence I carry every time. So much of denial. And over here, that's what, God says. At one point of time, we can be very much confident about. But God knows what we are. At where he's been put to shame. And in the crowd, I'm just looking at it and telling that I do not know him. But his eyes is there over each and every one of us. He knows our heart and mind. That God only to help us to testify him every time and to carry that testimony. And the same Peter in John 21. There again he was asked three times. There he says, what Peter says over here. Peter was grieved, it says in verse 17. And over here in the last portion he says, Peter was grieved Because he said unto him the third time, when Jesus asked him, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. Today, however confident I may be, however confident we may be in Christ, one thing we can tell, God, you know me. You know my heart. You know where I am weak, where I can fall. You know where I stand. I just want you to be my strength so that I don't fall in your eyes. I lift you up and I stand for you. Let these words we carry in confidence in Lord Jesus Christ.
We read in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As we heard today, in our life it's a wonderful things to regularly, you know, as a habit or something which we can follow, we can continue to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith in all situations of our life. It's good to, in a practical thing we can do often, is how Jesus would respond in this situation, how Jesus would speak in this situation, how Jesus would react in this situation. It's good to, something it helps us. As we heard, Brother Viju was sharing many areas where we can model Jesus, we can look unto Jesus and derive guidance. That's what we read here. Look, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Always something we need to do. Always looking, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And that will help us to receive direction and responses in our own life. Especially when we are under challenging situation, as we read here, we are especially when we are in difficult situation. We read in 3, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary in your heart. So to avoid being weary and discouraged in our life, this is something we can do. Always remember Jesus, how Jesus behaved and responded in a certain situation. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 and 22. For you have been called for this very purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow. It's a wonderful thing. Think about it. Meditate it. Christ also suffered for you, and he left an example for us to follow. So it's a good thing, a privilege in our life to follow the footsteps of the Lord. So especially here it is written that, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. This week we were discussing about how to control our tongue, how to about backbiting, slandering, how the way we speak, that is a reflection of our spiritual life inside. We were discussing this thing in the past, so we can see this wonderful example about Jesus when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. That's what Jesus, when he was reviled, questioned, ridiculed, challenged, we can be tempted to answer back in the same way, but he did not revile in return. This is a wonderful thing for us to follow the example which Jesus did. And while suffering, he uttered no threats. So when we are even the weakest among us, we can say, even we are cornered, when you are put to unrighteousness, you know, we often say the example of porcupine, a gentle small creature, but when it, we made anger him, irritate him, it will show its violent nature. So we are sometimes like that. Even though normally we are quiet and we're calm and everything, when we are threatened, when we are challenged, we may show our real picture, the picture. But Jesus, about Jesus, it's written, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. Even though he was a son of man, son of God, he had the authority. He did not threaten others. Even when he was made to suffer. And what he did is a wonderful thing. He kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He continuously gave himself to the Father who will judge righteously. Instead of doing evil for evil, returning evil for evil, speaking bad things, challenging, putting threats, he just what he walked, lived before God. He just entrusted himself to the Father who judges righteously. Something which we can follow. I remember an occasion in my life when people with whom I had, you know, who had responsibility for me, when I felt that I was subject to unrighteousness, injustice. I remember one morning, early morning, it really, it put a lot of pain in me in life. I was so pained in my, and then morning I got up and prayed. I cried, Lord, I need justice. That way I cried and prayed. And I remember the way the Lord comforted me. You learn to walk before me. You will receive justice from me. And this is a comforting thing. Look into God instead of turning to people and fighting against them, threatening them, speaking the way they speak, challenging them, picking a fight with the human beings. We can always come to the Father and entrust ourselves continuously. And we can be sure that we will receive justice from the Father. Jesus knew that. He entrusted himself to him who judges righteous. There's no unrighteousness with God. With the people, there may be unrighteousness, injustice. But from God, there is no unrighteousness. So it's a wonderful thing for us to follow in our life. Continuously entrusting our own. Are we able to do that now? Or we want to be in charge and control of our own lives? Or when we are challenged in difficult situations, are we able to entrust our lives to the Father in heaven who will judge righteously? Instead of being bothered about what others speak, are they judge about us, offering our lives to him, continuously entrusting our own lives to the Father, and knowing with the confidence that the same confidence Jesus had, I will already receive justice from my Father. So I need not be bothered about the justice, injustice that I suffer from others. A second thing which came to my heart is how Jesus while lived a life on this earth, he did not rely on his own power. He always leaned on the Father. He did not trust in his own resources, his own ability. Always he sought the Father's help. We read a verse in Mark chapter 1. Mark 1. Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Think about it. Jesus, he knew he wanted to trust in the Father always. He wanted to pray and trust, entrust himself to the Father and derive strength from him and direction from him. So this is a wonderful thing for us to also follow. Think about it, about our, how often or how is our level of trust in the Father, how much we pray and seek God for help, or we are doing things in our own ability, trusting in our own knowingly or unknowingly, it's good to ask ourselves, how much I trust God, look to God for help. And that will be reflected in our prayer. Need not be only just a form of prayer, or only hard learning to, even when you do things and traveling, or still our heart trusting, looking to God, Lord, help me. I am helpless, a helpless being, without you I can't do anything. Do we have that kind of reliance on the Father in heaven? Something to ask ourselves. So may God really help us, and our life may really be a life just like Jesus lived on the earth, in close, intimate fellowship with the Father. And may that be happen. It may not happen overnight, but let us seek to be there. The example which Jesus lived in our practical life in difficult situations. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of faith.
I want to share today on my relationship with my wife. If we can turn to the word of God, 1 Peter from 7. Husband likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessels, and being highest together of the grace of life, that your praise may not be, may not be hindered. And one thing before going to the conference that I had spoken to Brother Abu, that after coming from the conference, I want to be a changed man. That 2 years I've been in the fellowship, and before that, 10 years also I'm in the church, and life was just the same. My marriage life, always there are fights with my wife. There is misunderstanding. So I really wanted to improve my relations with my wife, because only your wife totally knows your personal life, whether you have changed as a Christian, that whatever you say, the way you live, that are you really a Christian, that it is very easy to be a Christian in the church, being a Christian to the people you know. But a real Christian, only your wife knows who you are. And it is written in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. I had this verse in Panchgani when we had went for the picnic. When Brother Abu was sharing and Brother George was sharing. And the Lord said, Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him. My wife should be a helper, not as a partner. That always have to respect my wife. And one thing after coming from the conference, that I was praying in the conference that I want to be a changed man. And God showed me that changes you have to make in your life. The first change that God spoke to me, that I should not get angry with my wife, whatever she says, whatever she does, the way she lives. And second thing, that I should not be offended also. Getting angry and getting offended is the same part of a coin. If you can see a coin, it has two faces. Anger and offense is also the same thing. And third thing, I learned that I should never be an offense to my wife or to anyone. That I have to understand my wife, even though she may not understand me. There's a big difference between me and my wife. And also heard in the conference that if you can't love your wife, you can't love God. So I'm all trying very hard to implement what I've heard, to implement what I read in the Bible. And I've started implementing this in my life, and things are getting worse and worse. But then too I'm trying that when I say that I will not get angry with my wife, and something happens, then I keep quiet. And the children also looking at me, that what daddy is going to do now. And when my wife is saying some things to me, I just keep quiet. That because I remember that I promised God, the conference, that I'll be a changed man. Then just yesterday, the day before yesterday, I had gone to my wife's house. And there was some issue that I wanted my wife to do something. Then she told me that you do. And that I got a little angry. I got offended also. And I said in the heat of the moment that if you don't want to listen to me, just stop talking to me, sir. My money was also watching. The children were also watching there. Then I felt very bad that I am being praying that I told that I will not get offended. I will not get angry. And I got angry and offended. So I still want to pray that it will take time. But I thank that I am started to work on what I prayed. When I look at marriages, I look at Brother Abu's marriage. And just recently, Brother Kevin has celebrated his 20th marriage anniversary. So I really thank God for the long marriages. And I'm starting that even though I have 8 years have passed in marriage, I'm still trying to work. And I pray that God will give me power and strength to take this long journey with my wife. Thanks.